My watch says 11:33. We have 27 minutes, right? We're going to be out by 11 o'clock, so just want to eat. Yeah, we got to go eat lunch today, so we're going to be out by 11 o'clock. We have 27 minutes. If I were to ask you the question, what's your favorite verse in the Bible, what would you say? In fact, let me just do it. This is a Bible class. That means you can talk. What is your favorite verse in the Bible? Pete loves the book of Acts. What about the rest of it? What's your favorite verse? John 3:16, it's hard to beat, the golden text of the Bible, for God so loved the world. Somebody else? Jeremiah 10:23, I will walk in your ways. What's it say? It's a wonderful verse. We have no idea what it says, but it's a great verse. Not a man to guide his own steps, right? Jeremiah 10:23, very good. Somebody else? Your favorite verse? Say it again. Philippians 3, verse 10, what does it say? Yeah, want to know Christ? Very good. Well, what I want to do in this Bible class, I want to share with you a verse that has a lot to say about trusting and obeying. It's an Old Testament verse, so if you have an old Bible, I want you to go with me, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles. Comes right after 1 Chronicles. Good place for it, right? 1 Chronicles, then 2 Chronicles, and we'll go to 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. God is speaking to Solomon, the wise man. And notice what he says. It's not a short verse, it's a long verse. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. God says to the wise man Solomon, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now again, that's not a tiny short verse, right? I mean, it's not like Jesus wept. It's not like pray without ceasing or rejoice evermore. It's not a short verse. It's one of the longer verses in all the Bible. But it's a great verse. It's a great verse that has a lot to say about trusting God and obeying God's will. God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and give up their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. First of all, I want you to notice the people of this verse, the people of 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. God said, if my people who are called by my name. In Old Testament times, God had a people, right? They were called what in the Old Testament? Israelites, Jews, Hebrews, seed of Abraham. What are we called today? What's your name? Caden? Caden. Are you religious? What are you religiously? It's okay. I'm glad you're in church. Glad you're in Bible class. You didn't know the preacher was going to talk to you in Bible class, did you? You come back tonight and I promise I won't say a word to you, okay? What's your name? Noah. You kidding me? Genesis 6, 7, and 8. I've always wanted to meet you, Noah. Very good. Noah, what are you religiously? Christian. Christian, right? That's who we are. Noah, do you remember the number of times the name Christian is found in the Bible? You do not, okay? You're going to learn something. Anybody know the number of times the name Christian is found in the Bible? Six? Who said six? 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 How many did you say, Joe?
Six.
Six? Good. Okay. Well, there may be six, but three of them I don't know about. I think the name Christian is found three times in the Bible. First of all, it's found in Acts 26, verse 28. Acts 26:28 is a king saying to a preacher, Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, right? But that's not the first time it's found in the Bible. The first time it's found is found in the very same book, the book of Acts. Acts 11:26, and there, let me start it, you finish it. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So Acts 11:26, Acts 26:28, and then the third time, as far as I know, only three times, maybe others, but 1 Peter 4, verse 16, Peter said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian. I remember talking to a fellow one occasion, he said, Keith, I want to be a Christian first, but a And then he gave another religious name. He said, I want to be a Christian first, but a blank second. Well, not me. Not me. By the grace of God, by the love of Jesus, I want to be a Christian first, second, third, and fourth. What about you? Say, I want to be a Christian, simply a Christian, only a Christian, nothing more than a Christian, and nothing less than a Christian. And that's who we are. We are Christians, people that belong to Christ. We are followers of Christ, students of Christ. A little boy put it like this on one occasion. He said, Daddy, Daddy, what's a Christian? I go to Sunday school and my teacher's talking about Christian this and Christian that. What's a Christian, Daddy? And the wise father got his Bible, turned over to 1 Peter 4, verse 16, read the verse. Yet if any man suffer as a son, do you see the name Christian here? And the little boy said, yes. He said, I want you to take the last three letters in the name, I-A-N, and put them over here. Take the name of Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, and put the name of Christ over here. The last three letters of the name over here, and the name of Christ over here. He said, son, let the I in the name Christian stand for I. Let the A stand for ain't. Let the N stand for nothing. And he said to his little boy, son, without Christ, Christ over here, without Jesus, I ain't nothing. I'm nothing without Jesus. So when we talk about God's people today, we're not talking about Jews, Israelites, seed of Abraham. We're talking about followers of Christ, students of Christ, people who are wrapped up in the name of Jesus Christ, people who belong to Christ. We're talking about us. So this verse, as we make the application, is for us. God said, if my people who are called by my name, we wear the name of Jesus. Now, in the second place, I want you to notice the plan. See, God has a plan for his people. God has a plan for his people. What is God's plan for his people? Well, let's go back to the verse, okay? What's the first part of God's plan? God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. Humble themselves. We saw some humble people just a few minutes ago. You know, it's been a few times we have not been singing that a brother or sister has responded. I've seen that before, but very, very unusual. So I appreciate our brother leading the way this morning. And others came. It takes a lot of humility to walk down an aisle and say, pray for me. We saw some humility today. Do you remember Proverbs chapter 6, six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination? Do you remember the very first sin on the list? What's the very first sin on the list? Say it again. Well, that's included in that list, hands that shed blood. But the very first sin on the list, God says, I hate a proud look. God says, I don't want you to be proud people. I want you to be humble people. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah, the prophet, asked this question. What does the Lord require? What is God's plan? Do you remember the answer? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. To walk humbly. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, Peter said, be clothed with humility, just like our sister, red hair, green blouse. Put on that green blouse to come to church today. Beautiful blouse. Just like we put on our clothes to come to church today. Peter said, you clothe yourself with humility. So time after time after time, God says, I want my people to be humble. I want you to be humble enough to say, I'm sorry. Be humble enough to say, it was my fault. Be humble enough to say, pray for me. God says, my plan for my people, it starts with humility. What's the second part of God's plan? God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and what? Pray. Would you do me a favor? Do yourself a favor. For the next four days, would you pray for somebody who needs to be saved? Maybe somebody in your family, somebody outside of your family. Maybe somebody who's a Christian, but just needs a closer walk with Jesus. Let me tell you what I find all across America. Praying churches are responding churches. Now, many of you in these kind notes that I brought with me, I just brought a few of them. Many of you said, we're praying for this revival. So I know a lot of preparation has gone on. Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying. I know that many of you have been praying for this revival. And for the next 4 days, just make a commitment with me. For the next 4 days, I'm going to pick out one person, just one. Maybe somebody in your family, maybe somebody you work with, somebody you go to school with. And I'm just going to be praying for that one person to have a closer walk with Jesus. Because praying churches are responding churches. Paul put it like this, Philippians 4, verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Don't be anxious. What does that mean? Don't worry. What's your name? Say it again. Dalton. Dawson. Dawson. You're one of the Dawson boys, huh? Okay. Outlaw, huh? Dawson, you ever worry? What do you worry about when the teacher calls you on your Bible class, right? You ever worry, Dawson? What do we worry about?
You.
You worry about me, Pete? Sometimes I worry about myself, son. We worry about a number of things, right? Family, job, health. Paul said, don't worry, but. He said, let me tell you what you ought not to do. Don't worry, don't be anxious, but. Let me tell you what you ought to do. But in everything, he didn't say in the big stuff, he didn't say in the spiritual matters, he didn't say in church stuff, he said in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know what he's saying? Don't worry about anything. You worry about your money, you worry about your health, you worry about your kids, grandbabies, don't worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. You know what he's saying? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. So, think about it. What? We have over 200 people in this class, maybe more. All of us are going to be praying for the next 4 days for one person by name who needs a closer walk with Jesus. Just think what God's going to bring to the table this week. Man, I'm excited about this week. You're excited about this week. But pray for one person by name because God says, I want my people to pray. So humility leads to prayer. God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. And what's the next part of God's plan, audience? Seek. When you hear the word seek, is there a Bible verse that comes to your mind? Say it again. Seek ye first. Matthew 6:33, right? Is God really first in your life? Well, you can answer that question by looking at the word first. F-I-R. S-T. Let the F stand for focus. What's your focus? I mean, you get up in the morning, what are you thinking about? You go to bed at night, what are you thinking about? Maybe you're thinking about cookies, Pete, but that's not a good answer for the Bible class, especially since your daddy is teaching the Bible class. My son thinks about cookies when he gets up. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's just be honest, okay? What are we going to eat today, right? We sometimes think about that. Well, let God be your focus. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you've been baptized, you have been raised with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. And then Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your heart, your affection, your focus on things above. Is God really first in your life? Well, let the F stand for focus. F-I. Let the I stand for income. When it comes to your money, is God really first in your life? You can answer that question by answering this question. What do you currently give to God on Sunday? Are you giving at least 10% of your income to the Lord? See, the Bible teaches, give and it shall be given unto you. Luke 6 and verse 38. Jesus did not say give to get. He did not say give in order to get, but Jesus did say give and you shall get. You can't outgive God. It is more blessed to give than to receive. F-I-R. Let the R stand for relationships. When it comes to our friends, people in our lives, is God really first in your life? You know, the people that we associate with should either be people that are bringing us closer to Jesus or they should be people that we're bringing closer to Jesus. So if you want to find out if God is really first in your life, look at your focus, your money, your income, and your relationships. F-I-R-S. Let the S stand for security. When it comes to security, to whom do you go first? When you need some arms around you, when you need to be built up, do you go to your banker first, your psychiatrist first, the medicine cabinet first, your doctor first, or do you turn to God first? I hear God say, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, hey, cast your care upon me. Cast your care upon me. I really care for you. Again, trust and obey. God says, just trust me. I'll take care of you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. F-I-R-S-T. Let the T stand for time. Is God really first in your life? Answer this question. How much time do you give to God outside of coming to class? Outside of coming to church? You come to church what? 4 hours a week? 2 hours on Sunday morning? Hour on Sunday night? Hour on Wednesday? Outside of 4 hours? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? How much time do you give to God? Reading the Bible, teaching the lost, caring for those in need, visiting those who need some support. As Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time, making the most of your time, using your time wisely. See, we're just trying to find out, am I seeking God's face? Am I seeking God first? You say, Keith, I want God to be first. How can I know? F-I-R-S-T. Look at your focus, your income, your relationships, your security, and your time. God says, hey, I have a plan for my people. I have a plan for God's people, for my people, for Christians. Well, what is your plan, God? God says, here's my plan. It starts with humility. Humility leads to prayer. Prayer leads to seeking a relationship with Him, putting Him first, seeking His face. And then last, what's the last part of God's plan? God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and what? Turn. It's hard to turn, isn't it? Isn't it hard to change? If you don't believe it's hard to change, just take a look at where you're sitting right now. As far as I know, I've never been to Florence Boulevard. I've never been to this church. But my suspicion is, those of you who are sitting over here, that's your seat. Is that right or wrong? And those of you who are back here, you're always back here. And those of you who are over on this side, that's your side. Is that right or wrong? We have our favorite pews in church, right? And if you walk in on a Sunday morning and somebody is sitting in your seat, what are you going to do? Well, you're nice people. You're not going to say anything. But you walk in, you see somebody sitting in your pew, and you're thinking, what are you doing in my pew? That's my pew. I've been sitting there for the last 15 years. Get up, get out. You're thinking that, right? Because that's your pew. It's hard to change pews in church, isn't it? Is there anybody in this wonderful class that uses the old King James Version? Anybody still use the King James? Raise your hand if you do. One person, two, three, four. Okay, we have a few. Hey, I preach from it. See, when I was born back in the 1950s and growing up in the 1960s, we didn't have a lot of options. We didn't have a lot of translations. So I grew up on what I called my mother's Bible, the old King James Version. And I've done my memory work, and I still preach from it. Why? Because it's hard for me to change. Okay? I don't preach from it because I believe it's the best translation. It's not the best translation. I've just done my memory work from it. It's just hard to change. Okay? You know why I'm wearing clothes that I've worn for the last 10 or 15 years? I'm cheap. You thought I was going to say it's hard to change, right? Well, it is hard to change, and I'm also cheap. But see, when God says, I want my people to turn from their wicked ways, you know what He's saying? I want you to change. I want you to turn. I want you to surrender. Start loving what you used to hate. Start hating what you used to love. Let's get very specific. What are some things that God's people need to turn from? What do we need to change? Say it again. What kind of sin, my friend? Okay, adultery. Hey, let's just be honest. Don't commit adultery. Jesus talked about that in that great sermon. Don't even look and lust. Don't have evil thoughts in your heart. Thank you for mentioning that. We sometimes in churches of Christ don't like to talk about specific sin. Adultery. We need to turn from adultery. What are some other sins we need to turn from? Say it again. Speech. Wow. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, Ephesians 4 and verse 29. So, you know, sometimes we get angry and it's okay to be angry. Jesus got angry. God gets angry. But if we get angry and we blankety blank blank, we need to turn from that, right? Saying those bad words. What else do we need to change? Say it again. I'm sorry? One more time. Disbelief. Whoa. That hits us all, right? You say, Keith, do you ever have any doubts? Do I ever have any doubts about every day? Every time I sin, that's a testimony to my lack of faith. My faith is not perfect. But Jesus, you know, he saw his disciples on several occasions. Matthew chapter 8, they're on the Sea of Galilee, on that boat. They're scared. Lord, aren't you concerned that we're going to die? And what did Jesus say? Oh, ye of little faith. And so sometimes I see myself with little faith. We need to turn from disbelief. You know, there are a lot of things that we need to change, okay? See, God has a plan. He has a plan for us. What is God's plan? It starts with humility. Humility leads us to looking up. That leads us to seeking a relationship with God. And that means we're going to surrender. We're going to change. We're going to turn. Boy, I hope that if God gives me 5 more years, I hope that I'm a better saint than I am today. I hope that I'm a better Christian 5 years from now than I am today. See, I hope that I'm closer to Christ. It's a lifetime of growth. It's a lifetime of changing. But God does have a plan for His people. Now, God said, if my people who are called by my name shall follow my plan, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll promise you. I'll make some promises to you. You need to trust me. You need to obey. You need to follow my plan. Obey me. Trust and obey. But if you'll just follow my plan, here's some promises that I'm going to make for you. What's promise number one, class? God says, I will, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, God says, I will hear from heaven. I want to make a statement to you. You be the judge of this statement. I believe that God hears and answers every prayer that we pray. Would you agree with that? I really do. I believe that He hears and answers every prayer that His kids pray. Sometimes His answer is yes. It's yours for the asking. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that prayed a prayer and God said yes? Hannah would be one. You remember the story? Hannah's without a kid. She's without babies. And she doesn't just pray, Lord, let me get pregnant. She prays for what? A boy. Now, granted, it's going to be a girl or a boy, right? She's got a 50-50 chance. But she says, God, give me a son. If you give me a son, I'll give him to you all the days of his life. So sometimes God says, yes, it's yours for the asking. We see that with Hannah. Sometimes God says, wait, the time is not right. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that prayed a prayer and God said, wait? What about Sarah? What did she pray for? Child? I assume she did. I don't know if I can put my finger on a verse that says Abraham or Sarah prayed for a child. I assume they did. I tell you an example that would go along with that. Zechariah and Elizabeth. You remember Luke chapter 1? They were young. They were in love. They got married more than anything in the world, like Hannah, like Abraham and Sarah. They wanted a baby. And so they pray and they pray and they pray. And now they're old people. They're too old to have a kid. And God shows up and says, hey, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. What prayer? You're going to have a son. His name's going to be John. He's going to be a preacher like you've always wanted. And when do you think they started praying that prayer? Well, no doubt when they were young and in love and they were married and they wanted that baby. But they had to wait and wait and wait. And so sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says wait, sometimes He says no. I think about Paul, thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, my grace is sufficient. But God says, I tell you what I'll do. If you'll follow my plan, if you'll trust and obey me, promise number one, I will hear from heaven. What's the second promise, class? Say it again. Well, that's a promise that He makes, but I'm talking about from 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. God said, if you'll follow my plan, if you'll trust and obey me, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin. Let me show you what forgiveness is, okay? We'll do it with this lid. Everybody watch, forgiveness. You want me to do it again? Let's wake up some of these people, okay? Forgiveness, it's a letting go. If you forgive something, you turn it loose. And God says, hey, if you'll just follow my plan, I tell you what I'll do. I'll listen to you. I'll hear from heaven. And I'll take your sins and I'll let go. And if you're not a Christian, I would say to you what Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent, change, and be baptized for the what? The letting go of sins. You say, I've been baptized. I'm a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian? I would say to you what John said in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. Let go. So God says, promise number one, I'll hear from heaven. Number two, I'll forgive your sin. What's the third promise? I will heal their land. I have traveled to a number of places. I've been to Israel twice. Been to the Philippines. Been to Cuba. Been to Mexico. Been to Canada. I've been to Russia. I've been to Mississippi. Just got back from Arkansas, okay? Been to a lot of places, okay? But every time I travel outside the United States of America, I'm reminded we're living in the greatest country in the world. See, I believe that. Somebody this morning had on a tie that's an American tie. Who's got on that American tie? There you go, brother. I want to salute you. I love that tie. Flag. See, I kind of feel like old Lee Greenwood. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee. Across the plains of Texas from sea to shining sea. From Detroit down to Houston. From New York to L.A. There's pride in every American heart. And it's time that we not see it, but stand and proud to be an American. Or at least I know I'm free. I won't forget the men who died and gave that right to me. I'll gladly stand up. Not sit down. Stand up next to you and defend her still today. Because there ain't no doubt, I love this land. God bless the USA. And that's the way I feel. See, I am proud to be an American. But morally and spiritually, America needs to be healed. And God said, hey, if you'll just follow my plan, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sin. And I will heal your land. Isn't that a great verse? It's a great verse, right? Look at the clock, folks. Clock back there says 2 minutes, minute and a half till. You didn't think I could do it, right? It's 12 o'clock. It's supposed to be 11. Have I preached for 2 hours? Yeah. Tell you what, let's do. Let's pray, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge that you are our Father. We want to be your people, just Christians. We want to follow your plan. We do want to be humble and seek your face. We do want to change, Father. We don't want to stay in our wicked ways. We want to be your people. And Father, we claim the promises. We do pray that you will hear us and turn loose of our sins. Let go, Father. And please heal America. We pray for our president, our Congress. We pray for those who make decisions. But we pray for us as citizens to be obedient to you. Bless this week. I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for this good church. Pray that some great things will happen for your honor and glory. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen.